troubling time, but we are in a place where we have a disproportionate amount of influence on how some of the biggest energy decisions are going to be made.
And let's do it. So thanks for being with us. I want to let you know that coming up this morning on KBOO at 11 o'clock, it's Disability Awareness. Grace Eagle Reed welcomes Lisa Lake, an advocate for the homeless, that the houseless. At 11, Voices for the Animals looks at the hidden costs of holiday meals from animals in the dairy industry to the people who consume their products. And I want to thank KBOO members for your generous support. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on donate, or join us during the pledge drive, which is coming up tomorrow for 3 days. We've been talking with Dan Sears this morning. He's the Columbia Riverkeeper Conservation Director, and you've been listening to Locust Focus here on KBOO Community Radio. If you're just tuning in and you'd like to hear what you missed, or you want your friends or family to hear this show, you can listen to it online or download the audio later this afternoon on our website, kboo.fm/locust-focus. Next week, Eric DePlace with Sightline Institute returns to Locust Focus to share his perspectives on how the world has changed since election night and what we can do in the Northwest to stay the course toward a carbon-free future. My engineer is Jenka Sodenberg. I'm Barbara Bernstein. We're going to go out with some music for Standing Rock by Jim Pepper. Thanks for listening.
Wichitanto, give me wa, Wanico, Rane, Yana, no. Wichitanto, give me wa, Wanico, Rane, Yana, ene, no way. Wichitanto, give me wa, Wanico, Rane, Yana, no. Wichitanto, give me wa, Wanico, Rane, Wanico, Rane, Wanico, Rane.
The time is 11:01. You're listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up next is Disability Awareness.
KBOO Community Radio is currently hiring for the following three positions: Station Manager, Evening News and Public Affairs Director, and Director of Underwriting. To apply to one of these positions, send a cover letter and resume to hiring@kboo.org, or bring or mail your resume with cover letter to 20 Southeast 8th, Portland, Oregon, 97214. Please answer the following question. Why is KBOO important? Open until filled. Interviews will begin around December 9th. No phone calls, please. KBOO Community Radio is an equal opportunity and affirmative action employer. Women and people of color are encouraged to apply. For more information, go to kboo.org.
It's bigger than you, and you are not me. The lengths that I will go to, the distance in your eyes. Oh no, I've said too much. I set it up. That's me in the corner.
Hi, welcome, Disability Awareness. This is Grace Reed. I have two guests today, Laura Sandow and Lisa Lake. We're going to talk about disability in the community, well, for that matter, disability in the world itself, right? We all work in our little arenas to make changes happen. I think anybody that would even tune in on a show like this is talking about or thinking about, and if you're associated with KBOO, yay KBOO, you're thinking about how you can make changes in your little arena. But today we're going to also address the big arena, meaning the community around us and some of the things that we need to sustain. Disability not only entails an individual with a handicap or a disability, but it entails a whole community when some of the things that are happening today in this day and age are happening. So, Lisa, hello.
Good morning, Grace. Good morning, Laura. Good morning, Lisa. Good morning, Grace.
Good morning, Laura. Let me not lose my headphones here.
So let's talk about, we talked a little bit about id and ego and what you can do. And I think the idea now is to, we're awake. We're incredibly awake now because of the latest election. Everybody's kind of woken up in a, oh my gosh, well, there's a lot of people that enjoy the election. There's a lot of people that go, oh no, what did we do? But that's not the issue here. The issue here is now that we're all disturbed, shall we say?
Good word.
Disturbed. What do we do? What should we do? What are some of the things that you're thinking about, Lisa? And first of all, I've had Lisa and Laura on before. Short idea of what? Who are you? Who are you, Lisa Lake?
I am CEO of Advocacy 5, which is a nonprofit for the houseless. I umbrella, which means I mentor and fund 5 different organizations that are out there on the street in Portland doing the work for the houseless, feeding, making sure they have tents and sleeping bags, connecting them with services that will get eventually, hopefully, get them into housing. Should I name those 5 organizations?
Sure.
Okay. PDX Outreach Nursing, Backpacks of Hope, Red Barn in Gresham, Boots on the Ground PDX, and now I'm going to forget the last one because I'm faced. I'll join that in later.
Sure.
Anyway, so yes, we're out there daily on the streets and connecting with shelters, connecting with where the camps are after the big spring water sweep, mostly in the southeast, but we kind of go from the bridges on, you know, this side, east and west, and go out into the deep southeast Gresham area.
Oh, thank you so much, Lisa, for your work. Laura?
Well, I'm a number of things. I'm an artist, an activist. I work for justice, and I hope to help the people in my community. I think that's probably one of the biggest gifts I've given to myself and to others is being able to work with others that need assistance, bringing attention to problems that exist in our community and the greater world, I think is a huge part of what I do as well. I have also been very, very ill lately, so I am facing my own disability and trying to deal with that during the holidays, and I'm very sensitive to those holiday vibes. So I'd like to even touch on how we care about each other during the holidays, checking in on each other and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And you're a vet?
I'm a veteran. And veterans fall through the cracks quite a bit. There's a reason why a lot of our homeless population is veterans.
True. So true.
Yeah, and I could be one of them if I didn't have help from others. So.
Yeah. I'm 73. I'm old, broke, toothless, but full of spirit. I also have MS.
I second that.
We all have health issues, and that's what what's so amazing. Here we are, just human. In this case, women that are coming to the mic and saying, there's nothing top down about any of the stuff that we're all doing, but it goes beyond sort of what we're doing in our little arenas. How are we affecting the community? See, because when the community itself is disabled, when we get disconnect.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about that. We talked about that a little bit before the show. How do you want to address that disconnect?
Laura, you want to go with that?
Yeah, I believe that everybody has every individual has a responsibility to do something to contribute to the community, as well as to themselves. If they can't do it, obviously, from themselves, then that's where they may need some assistance. But I think that idea that everybody can do something is very, very important. What I'd like to see in Portland is everybody pick one thing that they can do to help somebody else And it can be giving somebody a ride or helping somebody garden or buying some groceries, anything like that that may help somebody, especially during the holidays or a time when they may be particularly ill. That goes a long way, and that's something that you can give for free and is always appreciated.
It sure is.
I agree with that. Be a neighbor.
Be a neighbor. Yeah. Be a friend.
Just, yeah, whether that's, you know, right, the neighbor right next door to you or exactly. a neighbor in your community. There are so many ways, and I think that consistency is important, too, in this. You know, if you do something for someone, continue to look in on them, continue to check on them. I find that I tend to get upset with one-hit wonders, I call them.
Yes.
You know, people who, and I appreciate all help, so I don't want to throw that out either, but people who do that one dash thing because they're feeling like, and then don't come back or don't keep that up. Because I think it's important, especially now, for all of us to make time and to do that once a month, once a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, we talked a little bit about, before the show, we talked about id and ego, and we talked about the power of the one-hit wonders. Thank you. Anybody that does anything for anybody, I personally
That's right.
am very appreciative. But right now, we desperately are in need. In order to enable our community and the state of Oregon and the United States and the world, if you know, I tend to pull back and look at the big picture, and then I come in on my little arena, like, what am I doing to be part of that solution? But something I have observed as well is people get all busy and get all excited when something happens, something stirs us. We get all excited and we go out and we do stuff, and then we go back to sleep.
Yes.
As our Babylon falls once more. So
finding that, especially in the advocacy world, especially around the time of the holidays, after the spring water sweep, which was a huge kind of attention-grabbing, newsworthy happening in the houseless world, and people came out, and I'm grateful for all of the people who were there with trucks and moving people and, you know, getting them off of the spring water corridor before they were, you know, accosted by the city. But there's no one out there anymore now. And these people are so flung so far out that they're getting harder and harder to find out where they are, to reach them, to feed them, to clothe them. And we've lost our army.
And that, people, is community disability.
That's right.
It's community disability. And that's one of the things I try to come to this mic and address on a kind of a regular basis. But right now we've got huge community disability because of this. And here are a couple of experts at the mic, well, three of us for that matter, and we're seeing this over and over and over. Suggestions? How do we, what do we want to do about it? What are we doing about it?
Well, there is one new thing that I want to ask Lisa about, the new structure or housing at Willamette House. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. On Southeast Milwaukee?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
The new couples shelter and women's, yes.
All right. Could you expand on that?
It opened, I'm going to say, 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
Very recently. Was filled up like that.
Oh, wow.
As they always are.
Mm-hmm.
But it really was nice because the Gresham Women's Shelter opened, the domestic violence one, and that was filled to capacity fairly quickly. They're still building on it, adding to it. So this was kind of a nice relief for the women who are waiting to get into that shelter, found some space over in the new Willamette, you know, shelter. Things are going well there. They are a little different than a lot of the shelters because they actually have kitchen facilities. So people are also getting fed on a regular basis, which is wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, that is good.
And I think that was 100 beds, and it filled up just like that, of
yes,
course.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And of course, we need more shelters, and we need
do.
More commitment with, there's a lot of open spaces in a lot of places.
Yes, and we need elasticity in our thinking about this. That's what I like to say. It's, you just need to open it up. We need everything. We need backyard camping to be, you know, okay with the city. We need intentional camping, like Hazelnut Grove, to be, you know, part of our package. We need these shelters, more of them to open. And the new shelters that are opening, I'm really happy about, because They're not like the old shelters where you have to go in and leave every day. That's an enormous drain on everybody's time, you know, packing up your stuff because you don't want it stolen while you leave it there, walking the streets all day, and then being allowed to come back in. They now have places where they can mingle and hang around for the day if they don't have other things to do.
Well, like regular folk.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Regular. You imagine that.
Yeah. What about the, you know, I look at my friend Laura here, and she gives me a ride, by the way. I couldn't be at this mic without Laura's help, and you're going to fetch me back. So, you know, I can do this. I can't drive.
Teamwork.
And, yes. Yeah, teamwork. So I'm a result of teamwork, and I appreciate it. But without this, the veteran situation is, wow. I hear stories and I go, seriously?
they're so backed up. They're so overwhelmed. The veteran system is so overwhelmed. It's underfunded. They keep knocking down any bill that goes through to try to help veterans. A lot of veterans fall between the cracks, like me. I'm, you know, 80% disabled. Well, 80% I can't really work, but I don't get the full disability. So it's kind of a hard thing.
A hard thing.
And you fought. Yeah. You fought for this country. You know, come on already.
Yes.
You fought for this country to keep it. Well,
I served very well. I served honorably. I received a Navy and Marine Corps Achievement Medal for working outside my rate. I was served in Guantanamo Bay. You know, I served my time. I served well under very tough circumstances. And I feel like I'm really being let down. For years, they haven't been able to figure out what's wrong with me. And now that they're scheduling surgery, they're so backed up, they can't get to the surgery till March.
Wow. Are you doing that through the VA?
VA, they give me an option to go out because it's over 90 days. They passed a law where you can go outside the VA, so I qualify for that. But just to give you an example of how backed up the VA is,
right. That's,
you know, quite a ways out for a surgery that should be done fairly quickly.
That's mind-blowing.
Community disability.
Yes. That's right.
What can anybody do to help this situation? What do you suggest?
Well, I think there are a lot of patient advocates in the VA system itself that you can try to communicate with to get better service. But for the most part, it's just being an advocate for yourself. You have to do the research on whatever you have and be like a doctor yourself. Try to solve it yourself, because they don't seem to be looking at people the right way, or without enough detail, or, you know, so you need to almost be your own doctor. Mm-hmm. And people aren't doctors, and that's not the way it works, you know. So just be knowledgeable when you're dealing with the VA.
So we have actually two vastly different arenas, the disabled homeless. And by the way, everybody that's homeless is disabled.
Correct.
Right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Elaborate.
Once you don't have a home and you don't have a starting point or a place to get your shit together, for lack of a better word, then you become disabled in many ways. You are unable, which to me is the term for disabled, unable to create a life for yourself, unable to move forward into a life. You lose all of your grounding. You lose all of your wherewithal to other than to survive. So that to me is a complete disablement.
Mm-hmm. And then I'm thinking about the handicapped people within the homeless camps. A little bit, tell us what's going on there and how are they addressed? And what is there, what's happening there in that arena?
Well, there are so many who became homeless because they were disabled. And there are many who became disabled once they were homeless. I mean, it's tough living out there. And all kinds of things that, you know, just sleeping on a cold ground will be permanently, you know, we can get started. And then there are all kinds of other disablements that already people who lost their housing due to the fact that they can't work anymore. So I think that it's just going to continue. We're going to continue to see more disabled people out there in the physical form as well as the mental form, which is the other half of that. Being out in the streets creates, you know, a whole bunch of mental issues as well. There's the before and the after, just like with physical disablement. You know, the mentally disabled sometimes end up on the street because of that, but they also become mentally disabled after being on the street.
So mm-hmm. It's layer after layer.
Layer,
after
yes.
Layer. And according to the latest that I've read anywhere, heard was Oregon is the second largest state with Portland is one of the second largest cities in the country with homeless population?
Yes, I do believe. I'm not sure where we fall in that. We were in the top five.
Yeah, top five.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was the second largest homeless population.
Yes.
Here in Portland, Oregon, where all sorts of people are moving in, 1,000 a day at least, mm-hmm. with money, with means, and unaware.
That's right.
And that's why I'm so happy to be able to have this show, is to bring awareness and bridge those gaps. Because I go out every day and I touch bases with homeless addicts. That's my little arena.
Right.
And I have several gals that I cheerlead who don't want to come out of off the street, and they're drinking, drugging, you know, so on and so on. And I just show up on a regular basis when I can find them.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually pretty good in the summer.
Right.
They're all hanging out in groups on the sidewalks. It's getting harder to find them because the sweeps are, you know.
Pushing them out.
Well, and I've talked to folks that have just moved in. I've got some friends that have just moved in from East Coast, for instance, and they moved into they have the means. And they've moved into the newer kind of housing, which, you know, the $2,000 a month apartments and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And one of them made a remark, and this is just an observation, but they made a remark, what is it with all those people sitting out there? Don't they have a place to go? So the unawareness.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And these
right.
are people they're lovely people. It's not like we have a bunch of wealthy people that came in from other states and went, we can't wait to mess over the homeless and sitting in front of our fancy buildings.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like that. There's just this huge gap.
Yes.
Between understanding why those people are there. And many people don't know how to handle it. They don't know what to do. They do want to do something.
They do.
What do you suggest people do about the homeless and the veteran situation? You know, we know the problem. What is the solution?
Well, the veterans should be providing housing for veterans who are disabled, if they are that disabled. I strongly believe that there should be something available. As far as everybody else, there it's disgraceful that where you live in a society where there isn't housing for everybody. There should be a basic standard that everybody has access to. And it goes up from there. It shouldn't be that people are swept aside like they don't count. You know, it's people who are facing rent hikes, for example, are being treated like ATMs. You know, these are not people. These are or furniture, something that you can monetarily get rid of or whatever you want to do. And it drives more of the houseless. And I think that it's just a systematic problem, and we need to change our thinking. Shelters, of course, are going to be what are needed in the short term, but the long term, some sort of housing program for everybody.
That's right.
In the so-called richest country in the world.
Yes.
But I live in Europe many years, and I look back on this country, and it's only a 240 plus years old, right? We're brand new. We're new kids on the block. We're a brand new nation. We're still working all this crap out. We really are. I got a really good perspective on my country. I'm very involved with Standing Rock, you know, all that. And I'm looking at all that history. Black Lives Matter. But see, all this is surfaced now. Yes, this is all surfaced now, and this is a good thing. There was an ecumenical council at one of the churches, and every religious leader that could be a religious leader showed up for this thing.
You were telling us about that.
Yeah, and it's going to we're doing a TV show on it, and so it'll soon be out. And to a minister, to a person, to a congregation, they said that if there is a push on registering Muslims. Which, it, you know, there's some shady, evil, I don't know about evil, I don't believe in that, but the dark stuff, mm-hmm. the dark stuff is upon us. Or the unsettling stuff, it's always been with us. In this country, my observation is this, money comes before people, and that's just our system. But of course, this is what needs to change, because we're seeing the aftermath.
That's right. And we're always dealing with the aftermath. We're being reactive instead of proactive. So
address that a little bit more.
I'm with you. I think that, you know, this whole system that has been shed a light on with Trump's arrival has been a blessing in disguise, if you want to call that. We have to now find ways to change our thinking about our systems and why they are not doing what we need them to do.
And so we're out there working for it. How do we reach you, Lisa Lake?
You can reach me at Facebook page, Advocacy5, or through email, Advocacy5, the 5 spelled out, at gmail.com. Anytime, I'll answer you within 24 hours.
Yeah, you do. Good to have you on the show again.
Thank you.
You will be back. Laura, how do we reach you?
The best way to reach me is on Facebook, Laura Sandow.
And I'm Grace Gregg Medicine Reed, Eagle Reed, actually, and you can reach me on Facebook, too. So, solutions. What are some of the next things that you guys are going to be doing in the next... Well, we meet once a month here, right?
That's right. That's right. Until next time, I will be working...
If there is a next time.
I know. There will always be a next time, and for that, I'm... extremely grateful for. We have so many great people working for our organizations. We're constantly working with and part of the Portland's Resistance. We're part of Black Lives Matter. We're all, and as we talked about before the show, we're all part of a united front now that we need to keep working on being united and not divisive.
Yes. Yes. Unity movement. 5,000 people marched on the street not too long ago. There was just a handful of professional mischief makers that put, and everybody got lumped in. Oh, 5,000 people damaged the city. No, that's not true. I was proud of some of the leaders that came out and made that clear.
Yes.
I think because they had to. When you get 5,000 people united behind a cause, and this right. is the beauty of what's happening right now, again, the consistency of allowing that to happen. We need to keep that up. Keep that up.
Big shout out to Kat Stevens and Gregory McKelvey.
Yes.
Karen Witten, Micah.
People.
Yes.
Incredible people. Vahid.
Vahid Brown.
Yes. Lisa Lake, Laura Sandow, and Grace for that
That's
matter.
That's right.
And Yay Kabu, thank you so much for allowing us to broadcast these important, important issues. And I'm going to be doing more blogging, and I'm going to have guest blogs, so I'm going to ratchet up quite a bit of my activity around what's happening with the spoken word, and I'm also doing some TV work right now, so that's going to be nice.
Yeah, and the one thing I wanted to add in, too, was that when you do this unity thing and you provide spaces for groups to gather, please keep in mind the disabled.
Yes.
And make sure that they are accessible places so that everybody yes. may participate.
Yes. And that can be rather difficult. I know I'm working with our lovely Jenka about some of that. We're going to try to get... It's very difficult. It's very hard to find information about accessibility. And Jenka and I have been talking about that actually for quite some time. But I'm getting more and more information on all that. So.
Good.
Oh, I am so grateful that at least we know the way out, if you will, the way to betterment.
The way through.
Yeah, the way through. And it's only going to come from unity, unity, unity. Anyway, these ecumenical ministers' council, the council, which is called the Conference of the Birds.
I love it.
Because they were all on the wire chattling, chat, 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 chat. They decided that they would all register as Muslims if anybody starts to register Muslims. So we're going to have a whole city of nothing but Muslims
That's
on the
right.
religious front.
That's right.
I thought that was the most marvelous. That is the epitome of a unity movement that's practical, that's doable, that tells everybody, no, you will not do this to these people.
That's right.
You will. So they're all going to be black, Muslim,
that's right, United.
Indians, anybody that's getting pounded right now, that's they're all going to register as those folk.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we have to do, is become the very people we're trying to defend, you know.
Yes.
So, and move in unity with them.
Yes. And so let's call out a peaceful movement, though. We've got to go back to Martin Luther King and all of the peaceful movements. You cannot do anything if you're going to be attributing to the problem, to the darkness. So,
yes.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you guys. And we'll do more of this, and we'll come back with more information. Thank you, KBOO, for having this show. And we will, once a month, the fourth Monday of every month, we'll be doing a show around these issues and coming up with the solutions. Thanks so much for being on.
Lentils and rice, seasoned with spice. Well, when you go, better when you do, you'll see a brown-eyed girl who changed my world.
Give to KBOO today during our end-of-year match. Starting November 1st and wrapping up December 31st, donations from all new and increasing members will be matched one-to-one up to $15,000 from the Collins Foundation and SSI Shredding Systems. Give an extra gift